Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard. Some experiences are personal, others are meant to be shared. MasterCard presents Priceless Picks, a place to share at priceless.com.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. With just a nylon string guitar and his gentle voice, Swedish singer Jose Gonzalez captivated an audience in a rock and roll nightclub. This was Tuesday evening, October 2nd, at Washington, D.C.'s 930 Club. Jose Gonzalez is Swedish. His parents fled Argentina in the 70s and settled in Sweden. So what you hear in his music is both a pop sensibility, I think that's the Swedish influence, and then this very smooth, almost bossa nova sound. And that comes from his love of South American music, particularly João Gilberto. We were glad to be there and capture his performance that also featured two percussionists at times, and at other times, just his white sneaker tapping in time on a board with a microphone. You'll hear an entire concert of Jose Gonzalez, and on this podcast edition of All Songs Considered, we'll have an interview with Jose Gonzalez at the end. There are pictures of the evening's performance online at npr.org/allsongs. Look for our live concert series there. More concerts coming up include Josh Ritter, Spoon, The New Pornographers, and a whole lot more. Sign up to our newsletter. We'll send you the dates. Now, the entire concert of Jose Gonzalez at the 930 Club. Enjoy the show, everyone. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Thank you.
Hello, hello. My name is Jose Gonzalez. Thank you all for coming out. This next one is instrumental.
To speed up to, we had a promise made for hands and then away. Both under influence, we did and said to know what to say. Mind is a razor blade to cover hands of above. Start a simple time, one night to push and scream, and then relief. 10 days of perfect tunes, the colors red and blue. We had a promise made, we were in love to cover and hold. actors awake when most teeth sharing different heartbeats in one night. To call for hands of a bar to lean on wouldn't be good enough for me now. To call for hands of a bar thank you.
play some new songs from our new album, In Our Nature. Thank you. By the way, we have NPR in the house recording. So no cursing. This one is called Love Stain. Thank you.
to dirt up off your hands. You're doing the same mistake, but you're making the same mistake, but
big thanks to James Blackshaw. I'm going to do three more songs. This one is called Killing for Love.
You've got a heart on fire, it's bursting with desire. every step is time to mine. How's it gonna be when it all comes down, recycling trivialities? We don't know which way to turn. Every trifle becoming big. Chains and dreams without knowing what you wanted to be. So how's it gonna be when it all comes down, recycling to reality? How's it gonna be?
come up for you. One last song. This one is a message.
Green nylon guitar down on the seat, taking a bow, walking off stage after doing a knockout version of Teardrop, a cover song from Massive Attack, a song I think he's made his own, and now he's back, Jose Gonzalez.
Thank you.
contained emptiness. It's not what it seems.
Cast some light in your room for now.
thank you. Welcome back, Pierre Kimmel. This one is called Time to Send Someone Away.
Jose Gonzalez leaving a crowd here quite happy, playing a terrifically beautiful set. I have to say, the spotlight sits on his guitar, not the house lights, but folks are heading to the exits. I think the length of this show, with the kind of music it was just right. His voice was in fine form. He's a very understated and good guitar player. He plays just what's needed. A rare thing sometimes these days, you know. So thanks to Jose Gonzalez. We will have this show available for download and podcast. Sign up to our podcast. You can do that easiest in iTunes. Look for All Songs Considered. A whole plethora of podcasts for you all to be had. More shows coming up, including Josh Ritter on the 9th later in the month. Spoon later in the month. The New Pornographers with Nico Case. And more in the works. We thank all those in the chat room. Great show. Nice to have you there. We look forward to doing something special soon. Keep an eye with our newsletter, and we'll let you know. We've got a few things up our sleeve. Also, a new site launching at the end of this month for NPR Music, and that's going to be an amazing place for folks to find music. We look forward to that. We look forward to the new All Songs Considered site, which is being designed right now. Ours is about 8 years old and in need of a reworking. And you'll see that. It's looking pretty exciting, so we're looking forward to it. Thanks to all that made the show possible. Mark Greenhouse, the engineer tonight. Robin Hilton, the producer. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan, along with photographer Joel Diedrichsen. Good pictures online to be seen. Go check them out. It's All Songs Considered. So I'm in the dressing room of the 930 Club with Jose Gonzalez. Thanks for doing this. And I noticed you're wearing a T-shirt. The T-shirt is Revolution Will Not Be Televised by Gil Scott-Heron, which was a fantastic record. I'm going to guess it was the, like, 70 or so, but I could be wrong about that. And Gil Scott, if I'm not mistaken, was a Washington, D.C. musician, yeah, and poet.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't know if you knew that or not, if this was coincidence.
Yeah, it is. I didn't know.
This is his hometown. Where do you know, you grew up in Sweden, how do you know Gil Scott-Heron?
I didn't know him that well.
Yeah.
I only knew that song.
Yeah, which is a great song.
Then my girlfriend knew about him.
Uh-huh. So, and so your girlfriend back in Sweden? Or
she lives with me in Gothenburg, and uh-huh. She's with me here tonight.
Is she a performer?
Yeah, she's Yukimi Nagano, and she's on the record and also performing with
Wonderful.
Me live.
And she's doing percussion, but yeah.
Yeah, some shaker and hand clap and vocals.
Uh-huh. And I saw there was somebody else on stage with you in the sound check.
Eric Bodin, and he's been doing all the percussion production on the album too.
Okay.
So yeah.
It's nice. And in talking about music from let's say, D.C., and I mean, you find music from all over to be a source of inspiration, it seems, when I listen to your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been a music geek.
Yeah.
Or a lover for your life.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, when I used to play bass in the hardcore band, it was a lot of hardcore bands from here, from D.C., that used to go to Sweden. I think around 94, there was a big, like, a hardcore scene in Sweden. So many of the bands used to go over there and play. So
now there are a lot of people who come to our show who stumble upon your music, and they will have heard they may hear this interview after they hear your concert, and they will hear this, you know, just gorgeous voice, nylon string guitar, a couple of light percussions, just delicate, although pungent words at times, but and then to know that you were in a hardcore band sort of stuns a lot of people. Yeah. It stunned me when I first learned it. How did you make that transition? And do you ever want to go back? I mean, you're in the set, and it's 40 minutes of lush, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, no, I grew up both playing and listening to very different styles of music. So when I was 14, started playing acoustic guitar at home, and then later learning classical guitar. I also started playing bass, and first in a punk band and then a hardcore band. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was kind of like that throughout my teens, that I would listen to hip hop one moment and then learn some Spanish classical tune or sing with my dad some Beatles or Bossa Nova song.
Yeah. And your dad's from Argentina, yes? And
yeah,
and
both my parents. Yeah. And So yeah, I feel that way now too. Like I like many different styles, but when I make music, I kind of like keeping it kind of almost strict in a way to one genre. And I like the kind of stripped down production, and I've always been inspired by Chet Baker and John Gilbert and how they sound when it's only guitar and vocals. So even though I like many other styles of music, I wouldn't kind of step it up in my own music, because I feel like I could do that in other bands or if I do side projects.
There was you do a cover song on this record as well, and it's Teardrop, yeah, by Massive Attack. Mm-hmm. We did an interview. Do you know Anushka Shankar? She's Ravi Shankar's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And she does, she does Indian classical music, but her new record is a mixture of electronica with this fellow Kirsh Kale and her, and I can't remember the other producer who's on it. She tells me this story of when she was 18 walking into a record store and hearing Massive Attack and hearing that song Teardrop. And when she heard it, she fell in love with it instantly because of the vibe. Because it had a feeling, and it sort of didn't matter beyond that. She just felt this like sensation from the music. Your music does that too. Do you know what I mean by the vibe? Do you get that in certain musics?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been sometimes where I've had when I hear a song, I don't know anything about the artist, and you instantly know that you love it. It's like when Rage Against the Machine came out, and I was zapping on television and then saw a video with them. It was totally amazing, and I think I've had a couple of those experiences.
Who else would you have that with? I mean, Rage Against the Machine is certainly not it's the antithesis of what you do.
Yeah, well, I guess Chet Baker was one of those. I was borrowing CDs from the library in Gothenburg, and they didn't have that much, but the stuff that they had was pretty like eclectic, and I just picked it because I thought I'd like jazz. So when I listened to it, it was also mind blowing. Like,
what is it about his playing?
It was actually one where he sings.
Oh, okay.
And there are some voices that instantly you love, and so even though I don't like all of his music, it's like his voice was really struck me.
Could you put your finger on what it is?
I mean, it's something about the clearness and that it sounds effortless. And so compared to many other singers, you don't get the feeling that they're trying to sing a note. It just comes out naturally.
Not unlike Rage Against the Machine.
No, exactly. So that, yeah. So yeah, of course, music can talk to you on so many different levels. So
when I put your music on, for people who don't know your music, I think it's the vibe, and I think it's the voice, in particular, that they go, "Wow, And there's a resonant quality in your voice, and that's one characteristic that I love. But you also take to recording your music and your voice in a certain way. Could you describe what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I always record it on my own. I don't like having anyone else.
You record it while you're alone and your own?
Yeah, so no producers, no sound engineers. And Well, basically, it's nothing strange. You just
double it.
I double it, and usually I use a lot of tube. What do you call it? Tube
preamplifier. Microphone preamps.
Yeah. So I don't mind if it's if it distorts a little.
You don't, and I notice that, and sometimes that bothers me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's okay. the engineer in me
that
wants to say it. It's kind of overmodulating that preamp, but at other times it works. I mean it depends, but that is an odd quality, because it is that smoothness of that sort of bossa nova feel where it is effortless, but then it's also being pushed to the max. Is some distortion going on there you wouldn't expect given what's happening in the voice. Why do you choose to do that?
I always like the sound from the 60s, 70s, where you have a lot of tape recorders and tube compressors, and usually like one takes, and I kind of like the feeling that you're there recording and all of a sudden you're played too loud and then it distorts. I think distortion has always been something that I like from punk music to even acoustic music, and I've felt like there's been a lot of music that actually is really good but sounds boring because of it's too clean, and you got compressors pulling down the
dynamic range.
The dynamic.
But for the people who don't know, in other words, the quiet and the loud are not too far apart.
Yeah.
Right. Is that the best?
Yeah, and what I feel like is sometimes people use the compressors to do that, but in a way that you don't really notice that you're singing loudly. So I feel like if you let there be some distortion and use a reverb in a way that it sounds loud, then you kind of keep that feeling of dynamics that is there when you're recording.
What room do you do this? Do you do this in your bedroom? Do you do this in...
Yeah, I've been... the first album I recorded in my bedroom kitchen. It was only one room.
Yeah.
And this second album I've recorded in a similar room, but it's part of a kind of like a studio.
Uh-huh. Stepping up.
Yeah. So it's like an office space where I have my computer and my mics. I actually bought a tape recorder, but I didn't have the time to set it up properly. So.
And how do you do then? Do you do the guitar separate from the voice?
Yeah, I had the idea to try to do both at the same time.
Yeah, I think that might be your attitude to do them at the same time. But
yeah, but I noticed that I could get the same feeling if I just played the guitar and didn't think about playing it completely right, and kind of keep some of the faults, because then when you add the vocals, those small errors don't really matter that much. So I kind of found a way to make it sound like one takes, and that I'm playing at the same time.
Do you mind if I open up the jacket of the CD and talk to you about some of the words? Do you like talking about your words?
Because
if
you are,
you're okay with that.
Yeah, on this record I like it. on the other records.
Well, I mean, the first cut that I fell in love with on the CD was, well, like them all, but In Our Nature was one. It's In Our Nature, It's In Our Nature. Put down your sword. Send home your dogs, open up your doors, let down your guard, it's in our nature. Put down your gun, ignore the alarm, open up your heart, let down your guard, it's in our nature. When you do a song like that, who is that? Who are those words for?
I think it's for most of us. But it is also thinking about people that fight. I tried to write in a general sense, so that it's not a one specific person, but
so it works both on a personal level and works on a bigger level. Do you think
is that
something that it does? Because I mean, these songs seem to be about love and hate. If you know, if Leonard Cohen hadn't stole the title "Songs of Love and Hate," you could almost have used that title for this record. Which I'm trying to think of what the other. There were many of them, but there was one in particular. Hang on a sec. How low are you willing to go before you reach all these selfish goals? Punchline after punchline, leaving us sore, absorbed in your the old bustling, you're feeding.
Hustling.
I'm sorry. I have the wrong glasses, and I was hoping that they were going to come today, and they did, and then they didn't fit. So, pardon. You're feeding a monster, just feeding a monster, and invasion after invasion. One, as an American, can't help to think about it, that it's about this country.
I think it fits pretty well with this country, although I had other things in mind, like some media, how you've got news that mm-hmm. that aren't doing good journalism, and so I was thinking of that, actually. I hadn't planned to give that away, but yeah. I'd seen so many, even when I was doing the mixing, the guy who was helping me out, Kalle Gustafsson, he asked me, like, I really like this song. It's about Bush, isn't it? And I was like, oh, well, yeah, it fits pretty well. but yeah, it's once again, it's not only about that specific thing. It's about anything where, also about me sometimes when I get doing something very intensely and to the point where you don't see the consequences of what you're doing. When you do compromises, but not on your own, not your own compromises, yeah. compromising others.
Now, you write all your songs in English, and what is English, your second language, your third language?
Third.
Why do you choose to do, and those first two languages would be Swedish
and Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Why do you write songs in a language that's further from your natural speech than anything else?
Well, I mean, now it's become my second language. Uh-huh. But when I started off, I wasn't that good in English, and it was mainly because, you know, it sounded good, I guess. Swedish is pretty corny sounding.
Do you think all Swedes think that?
No.
Okay, just wondering.
But there are some, a lot of bands that sing in Swedish and do it well, like yeah. Dungen or Bob Hund,
but a lot of the Swedish pop bands are all singing in English.
Exactly, yeah. and it's something that as a teenager you don't really think about it. It's kind of
you like, mean oh. because English is the language of rock and roll, or
it's a language that in Sweden you don't have you have subtitles on TV and. Most of the music on the radio is like half of it is Swedish, half of it is in English. So it's really common in the media, mm-hmm. And we learn it pretty early in school. And for me, it was also a way to kind of it becomes a bit more poetic almost, like or more distant. I felt like singing in Swedish is too direct.
Are you too self-conscious when you're singing in Swedish, maybe? Would that be a way of putting
it? Oh, yeah. I think I would be too, like...
That's interesting.
Actually, the first times that I played in England, it felt really weird to know that all the people here speak English. And I was, like, feeling like I was exposing myself.
Right. Maybe you had to sing them in Swedish or something.
Yeah, exactly. Now I feel like it's nice actually to be able to go to almost anywhere in the world and know that people will recognize the words. And
do you enjoy this country? I mean, we talk about it in terms of its politics, that there are issues that you have.
Yeah.
But obviously, from the Gil Scott Heron T-shirt there must be an attraction. Something is there.
I mean, the amount of media that comes out of the States has influenced.
And you're talking about movies and records and that kind of media.
Yeah. And for me, it's been basically almost all the music that I've listened to. I mean, pretty much half of it is from the States.
Have you met any of your heroes at all yet?
Yeah.
Like who?
Well, I mean, some of the influences that I've mentioned for Veneer, I've met on the last tour. So I met Cat Power, Jason Molina from Songs of Haya, Geoff Farina from Karate.
Is there someone you really want to meet that you haven't met yet?
I'm pretty shy, so I don't really want to meet them.
I understand that. But, okay, so is there anybody who you really admire as an American singer?
I think the ones that I would, you know, Silvio Rodriguez and maybe Paul McCartney or something like that.
Yeah, okay, we'll call him up.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, you listened to Paul as a Beatle fan when you were learning music, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And I met George Martin.
He did?
So, yeah.
Oh, can I shake your hand?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah, it was hero of mine.
So that was pretty cool.
When you meet someone like that, is it being a shy person? And oddly enough, I am too. This is outside of my personality. I don't know how it is that I sit in front of a microphone because it's not my normal personality. But were you able to talk to him about anything regarding music?
No.
It's too hard, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I was like, I got this yellow Beatles book from my dad, and we used to play all the songs, and I wanted him to sign it, but I was too shy to ask him for that. But then, I kind of like having not being too idolizing.
Yeah. In fact, if it wasn't for the show that I do, as much as I love you, and if I were in the same room with you, I'd just say hello and I'd walk away, and I wouldn't. But this gives me an excuse to be able to talk to you. I talked to George Martin's son, Giles, who's a great producer, and he told me the funniest story of his dad, if I can just relay it real quick, which is that his mom was a real British stickler, and maybe I'm not putting this quite the right way, but speakers in a house wasn't really quite proper, you know? And so she didn't want there to be speakers in the house, so he had to go listen to all the mixes out, like go to his car and stuff. And I just thought that was an amazing story. That George Martin couldn't have speakers in his house to listen to the music. I just love that story.
That's strange.
Yeah, very strange. Do you like to surprise audiences with covers? And don't tell if you're gonna do one. Don't tell me what it is because I like to be surprised. But do you like to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't play that many different covers. Uh-huh. So for the people that have already seen me, it's usually not a surprise.
Okay.
I always had one or two or three covers at the end of the show. And I like it as a way to kind of, if people haven't heard me before, maybe they recognize something in the cover, and it's a entertainer in me that likes putting some covers.
Is there a different place in your heart or your head, a song that you write you don't think of as entertainment, and then a song that by somebody else would be entertainment? Is that?
Yeah, actually, I feel that way. I mean, of course, it's entertainment.
It's, and right, I understand.
I'm there playing, and people have paid to go there. And But it's been an issue, actually, for me. Like, I never felt comfortable in the role as an entertainer.
Yes.
I kind of feel like it's okay that people invite me, and then I go on stage and I play, but I won't be the kind of extrovert guy that puts on a show.
Right.
So I wanted to be about the music and not about circus.
And not about you, kind of. I mean,
exactly.
Even though it is you, it's I really do understand the difference. I'm not sure if we're being, either one of us are being very clear about it. But no. I sort of sometimes distinguish the music between one music that you have to do. You have no choice. This is music that comes out of you, and you have to do it. The other music is like, we're all here together, and let's just all smile together, and you play something familiar.
Yeah, no, I feel like there is a difference between kind of young guys that pick out the guitar when it's a party, and like, listen to me.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not that kind of guy. They kind of have to force me. I'm like, please play that song. And I'll be like, no. And then maybe.
Yes.
I'm super drunk.
Well, I look forward to tonight. I've enjoyed your music over the past years and quite like the new record a lot. So
cool.
Thanks. Be well. Thank you. Cheers.